Okay, Mark chapter 6, we resume our study today in verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it reads, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And all they did included healing the sick, driving out demons, and preaching the word of God. And now they are back, telling Jesus all about it. They must have had a great time. It must have been exhilarating, doing what they had seen Jesus do. I say that because it's always a spiritual good time whenever we allow Christ to work through us. And Jesus had certainly worked through the apostles. He had transferred his power to them. And so they became like 12 little Jesuses, 12 extensions of him. 31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You know, I don't think they were tired of their work, but they did get tired in their work. And I say that because no one who is genuinely called by Christ to minister the Word of God gets tired of their work, only tired in their work. And Jesus saw that they needed rest, so he said, let's get off by ourselves. And remember, the job of serving the Lord, the job of serving the people was not done. It's never done. But they took a break anyway. And that's because getting proper rest is actually a spiritual issue as well as a physical issue. And so Jesus commanded them to rest. And they will get a rest, at least a short one, while they're in a boat anyway. Verse 32, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. It was Jesus and it was them, alone in a boat, and then, at least for a little while, in a solitary place. The best place to get refreshed in the Lord is anywhere that is quiet. Doesn't have to be in a closet. It can be driving. Sometimes that works. Or walking. Or sometimes even working, depending on what you do. Whatever or however, regular quietness is good for the soul. That's why Jesus wanted them to get alone here. Also, Job 37, verse 14, God says, listen to this. Stop and consider God's wonders. Stop. Slow down and consider. Take the time to think. Psalm 4:4, when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. And then Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And so when we are quiet before the Lord, amazing things happen. He will work in our spirits to remind us that he's real and that he's God, and that's going to refresh us like a spiritual shower. 33. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Many in the crowd who saw Jesus leave anticipated where he was headed and when he would arrive. So they ran and they got there before he did. And that is the type of determination that Jesus blesses. The sincere don't quit. The sincere keep on with God, even when it's tough. And even when there aren't any immediate rewards. But as a result of doing that, they are eventually blessed. God's promises are for those who persevere, not for those who quit. Verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus did not get upset when the people interrupted his rest. The people needed help, and they wanted help. So Jesus was ready to help. Verse 35. By By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late." Instead of being their day off, like they thought it was going to be, the apostles actually ended up working overtime. And it really does seem as if they are pushed to their limit, so they want to punch out, and they want to be left alone. Consequently, they tell Jesus in verse 36, "Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." You know, the apostles, they are anticipating trouble. They're thinking, these people are eventually going to snap out of their spiritual high and realize that they are very hungry. And Jesus, we don't have any food, so you better send them away. Sounds kind of crazy, but they are telling Jesus to send these needy people away because they have needs. The apostles do not yet understand that when people are in God's will, like these people were, then God will meet whatever needs they have. God does not say, "Well, now you're in trouble. Serves you right for doing what I wanted you to do." God does not say, "Well, you put me first, now let's see you get out of this mess that you're in." Doesn't work that way. Where God leads, he provides. 37. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" In other words, they were saying, "We don't have the money to buy that much food." They don't understand the Lord's command. They can't figure out why a smart man like Jesus would command them to do something they can't do. You say, "Well, Jesus must not have been serious." Well, sure he was. He wanted them to do what he said, but he also wanted them to recognize that they couldn't do it without his help. You see, God's commands are designed to drive us to Jesus. This command was designed to get the apostles to look at Christ and say, "We want to obey, but we need your help, because you're the only one who can pull this off." Verse 38. "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now there were likely 15, maybe 20,000 people there, when you count women and children. They have 5 loaves, each about the size of a good-sized pancake. And they have 2 fish. Jesus asked them to do something that they, by themselves, do not have the resources to do. Sometimes God asks us to do things in our life, and we think, "How can I pull that off, Lord?" But you know, if we trust him, and we do it prayerfully, God will supply whatever we need to do it. That's what happened with Moses. God calls Moses on Mount Sinai, calls him up there and says, "Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people out of Egypt." Moses said, "I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I can't speak very well. How am I supposed to do it? I can't do it." And he was right. He didn't have what it took. But God says, "I'll be with you." So he did it. And he completed it. Verse 39. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. They were given a command by the Lord, and they will carry out that command by his power. But first, there was a time of preparation. Time was needed to get the people organized. Sometimes there's a delay. A time of preparation between the time God calls us to do something and the time he says, "Okay, go." This is what happened with Samson. You know, God called and equipped that man to be a military deliverer for his people. But even when he was a young boy, the Bible says he loved to visit the army camps. He just liked to hang out there. So he evidently was sensing that call from God even as a young boy, but there was a time of preparation, a time of delay, until it was time to do it. There's a short delay here as things get prepared. Verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. They did what they could with what they had. The apostles did what they could with what they had, which amounted to 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not a whole lot, but they ended up doing a lot more than they ever thought possible. They were asked to do the impossible, and they did it. When God asks us to do the impossible, we should do what we can with whatever we have, even if it doesn't seem like much. God says, do not despise the day of small things. But as we do what we can with what we have, God will provide whatever we need to do whatever he wants for as long as he wants us to do it. Verse 43. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And I like this verse. It's true that God supplies all we need, but that does not mean that it's okay to waste what we have. One of the ways God supplies our needs is by giving us wisdom to be frugal and to take care of what he gives us so that it lasts longer. You know, Jesus could have made the boys a fish fry from nothing every single night if he wanted to, but instead he had them do things like pick up leftovers. 44. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. The reason I said they probably fed 15,000 or 20,000 people is because the 5,000 did not include women and children. 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. Now, Jesus just fed the 15,000 or 20,000 people. And according to other gospel accounts, the crowd wanted to make him king on the spot. And it's easy to see why. Imagine this happening today. Imagine Jesus crossing America today, healing everyone in sight, and I mean healing them, of missing limbs, of cancer, of everything, blindness, you name it. Imagine Jesus crisscrossing America, emptying hospice units, or causing people in nursing homes to get out of their beds and out of their wheelchairs, restored as if they were young adults. Imagine Jesus stopping the tornado that ripped through Joplin, Missouri. Imagine Jesus standing on the sea or standing on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico and commanding Hurricane Katrina to turn into a light breeze, and it happens. Imagine Jesus creating all sorts of free food for anyone who needed it. He would be very popular. There would be a movement to draft Jesus for president for sure. Well, that's what was happening here. Exactly. Same thing. And so there was an effort to draft Jesus to be king, and we can see why. Jesus' response? Dismiss the crowd. Send them away. Christ will reign someday on a restored earth, and it's going to be wonderful. Everything that these people imagined it could be. However, first, he had to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Because if he doesn't do that, he has no one to reign over. Because everyone is going to be in hell unless he does that. So he had to go to the cross. 46. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. So he may have been tempted to go with this idea of making him king and skipping the cross. That could have been a real temptation to him. But Christ knew better than to entertain any temptation, including that one. So he sends the crowd away. In other words, he removes himself from the source of the temptation, and then he gets alone to pray. Smart. Christians do not sin because they don't have the power to overcome temptation. They sin because they don't choose to get rid of the temptation and replace it with prayer. 47. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. Remember the last time the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee? Remember what happened? They ran into that severe storm. Jesus was asleep on the cushion. Well, Jesus was with them that time, but this time he stayed back to pray. And he sent his men out alone. Verse 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. It had been another long day for the apostles, so they were probably tired before they even got into that boat. And now, here they are, in the middle of the sea, with a strong wind blasting them in the face. And I would guess that they had absolutely nothing left in their tank, which means they're in a very dangerous situation. Only this time, Jesus isn't with them. 48 again. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. Now, it is sometime after 3 a.m. The fourth watch went from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So, the disciples are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, which is about 8 miles wide. It's dark. The disciples are in the middle, so they're about 4 miles away, in the midst of a stormy sea. And yet Jesus saw them and saw that they were in trouble. They couldn't see Jesus, just as we can't see him today. But he saw them, just like Jesus sees us. And he knew what they needed, so he started to walk to them on the water. Now think of this. He is walking on a stormy sea to rescue his men after just feeding 20,000 people with essentially nothing. Let that sink in. I would say that Jesus' ministry is firing on all cylinders right about now. He is doing so many amazing things in such rapid-fire succession that it almost makes my head spin just to think about it, just to read about it. I can't imagine how the apostles are feeling. They're experiencing it. They're right in the middle of it all. What a tremendous time to live for these guys. 49. He was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. You see, if one person sees a being walking on the water in the midst of a storm, it could be an hallucination. But if 12 out of 12 see it, it's real. And so the apostles say it's a ghost. And actually, what the word means is that what they thought they saw was a phantom, which would be a water spirit, sort of a maritime boogeyman that people believed in back in those days. You know, fishermen back in those days tended to be superstitious. And one common superstition was that water phantoms would attack boats at night and sink them. Now, considering that common belief, it's easy to understand why the apostles are in a panic, isn't it? Sure, they're thinking, it's all true. There really are water phantoms, and one's about to get us. Last part of verse 50, immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus was with them, but they didn't know it, so they were afraid. The presence of Christ by itself was not enough to alleviate their fears. They had to know that. that he was with them before they could have peace. That's why Jesus said, "It is I, don't be afraid." There are certain times that are so stressful, so terrifying, that nothing short of remembering that Jesus is with us can enable us to keep our sanity. Try to remember this story. And always remember the words of Christ, "I'm with you always." And what else he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Remembering his promise, remembering this story, will remind you of his presence, and that will calm you down. Anything that puts my mind on Jesus calms me down. Can't tell you how many times this has happened. I wake up in the middle of the night and something has me concerned, something has me worried. I'll start praying the Lord's Prayer over and over again. And it's not a Christian mantra. But inevitably, I will fall asleep. And that's because it works to relax me, because that prayer reminds me to focus on the reality of Christ. And so Jesus here says, "It's me." Verse 51. "Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened." They had not understood about the loaves. They had not understood about the miracles that Jesus did. They were amazed. And the Bible tells us why. They had seen Jesus do many miracles. However, they did not understand that those miracles pointed to the fact that he is God. If they would have understood the meaning of the miracles and not just been amazed at the miracles, they would not have been so amazed that Christ would do whatever it would take to ensure that they would make it across the sea, which is where he commanded them to go. Verse 53. "When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there." Back in verse 45, the disciples set sail for Bethsaida. The place where they landed was about 8 miles to the left of Bethsaida. The storm forced a change in their plans. Sometimes our plans can be thrown off course. Sometimes our intentions fizzle, and it's not always because we have disobeyed God either. Things happen in this imperfect world filled with imperfect people, including us, and imperfect weather, and imperfect everything. So when life seems to get blown off course, keep in mind that God maybe did not cause it, but he allowed it, and we can rest in that truth. Verse 54. "As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was." As soon as the people recognized Jesus, there was a flurry of activity. It says that the people hurried. They found those who needed help and they quickly brought them to Jesus, and their zeal is going to pay off. Zeal for Jesus always pays off. Psalm 119:2 says, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their hearts." With all their hearts. The more fervent we are for Christ, the more blessing we will receive from God. Half-hearted devotion brings half-hearted blessing and minimal joy at best. 56. "And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces and begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed." Jesus did not have a magic coat. We saw that last time. It was the power of God and the faith that moved the people to come to Christ that gave them their miracle. Their touch, their effort, was their unspoken prayer. And since God knew their heart, he answered, and they were blessed. Chapter 7 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.